Every good and perfect gift we have in this life comes from God, and He has specifically measured out to you what He wants you to enjoy in this life.
When it comes to the Eighth Commandment, you and I pretty much take one of two routes with it. It's either a stolen pencil from work or a stapler, or we go to the opposite extreme and it's bank robbery. But when we take a look at this within the spectrum of God's design, we come away with a clearer understanding of what He is wanting from us when He tells us we shall not steal. As we've seen with some of the other commandments, there is a spiral path downward to get to stealing. And we're looking at the heart of the issue. What starts and leads to stealing? What's really at the heart of it all? And that's what we're looking at today with Pastor Chris Gordon here on Abounding Grace. Here's Pastor Chris with command number 8.
We're going to say two question and answers tonight on page 249 in the back of your little forms and prayers book. This is Lord's Day 42. We're returning after a few weeks to our study of the Ten Commandments. And tonight we come to the Eighth Commandment, Lord's Day 42. So I'll ask the two questions here and please respond with the answers. Lord's Day 42, page 249, where we have question answer 110. What does God forbid in the Eighth Commandment? He forbids not only outright theft and robbery, which governing authorities punish, but in God's sight, theft also includes all evil tricks and schemes designed to get our neighbor's goods for ourselves, whether by force or by means that appear legitimate, such as inaccurate measurements of weight, size, or volume, fraudulent merchandising, counterfeit money, excessive interest, or any other means forbidden by God. In addition, God forbids all greed and pointless squandering of His gifts. What does God require of you in this commandment? That I do whatever I can and may for my neighbor's good and treat others as I would like them to treat me, and that I work faithfully so that I may help the needy in their hardship. Text tonight is one verse from Ephesians 4, 28. And I'll read that verse. It's a very short verse. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. And that's the Lord's word tonight to us. Well, as we press on in our study of the Ten Commandments, we come tonight to the Eighth Commandment: "You shall not steal." And stealing is, of course, taking very simply, boys and girls, what is not yours, which God has given in all of His good gifts that He gives to us and that He gives to you, taking that which is not yours and stealing to have something into your possession. It is not, of course, it is a form of not being content with all of God's good provisions and rejecting His provisions. But then in turn, notice that, as we looked at in the Heidelberg, it has this effect of harming your neighbor by taking from him what God gave him in this life. So it's a real simple commandment in that regard, but is very, obviously has many implications in society and in the world. I remember when I was in, I still remember this day, if I can give one little story here. I remember in first grade, I learned a lesson. I remember my little friend had a squirt gun. And the teacher took that squirt gun. And that squirt gun sat right on the desk next to me. And I remember eyeing that squirt gun. And I remember taking that squirt gun. And you guys wouldn't believe this, but at the Christian school, they used to spank. And I got a good one in first grade. And you know, that taught me a very important lesson. I don't really take things anymore, I don't think. Well, we'll look a little more deep than that. I think we have to get at what is behind the sin of stealing tonight to understand it, so that we can appreciate the great call in our lives to pursue a radically different ethic that the gospel motivates. And so with that in mind, what I want to do tonight is look at what is behind this desire to steal a little bit and why this is such a problem, what stealing then looks like, and really what the Bible calls to replace that temptation to take what is not ours with the desire to give. There's a real positive dimension to this commandment you'll notice tonight, and we're going to explore that tonight. I want to begin with this desire that comes about, this desire to steal and to take, and hopefully this will help us tonight have a good appreciation of what the Eighth Commandment is all about. I remember years ago when I was sitting here in seminary, and it still sticks with me. I think it's been used everywhere, but I've used it here before. But I remember Pastor Voss saying that life is like the game of Monopoly, and all in this life are trying to get ahead. It's what we're all trying to do. And we use all of our energies to get ahead, to gain money, to gain park place, to gain all of these things. And in the end, it still stuck with me. It all goes back into the box. Your own bodies go back into the box. Really a remarkable truth, isn't it? To kind of stop and think about how temporary this all is. And we go into this world with nothing, come into this world with nothing, and we go out of this world with nothing. So we want to look at this. It's helpful tonight with considering the Eighth Commandment, where the Lord says this to us, that really all that we have is, putting it in economic terms, is kind of borrowed capital, isn't it? That the Lord gives to us in this life. But the drive in us, this drive that we have, and what really motivates theft, and you see how tied together the commandments are, how in harmony they are, how closely related the Eighth Commandment is to the Tenth Commandment. Because when the Lord says, you shall not covet, there is that desire that is set on something. The act of taking it is going the full route in stealing, which really is something that gives birth in the heart when we set our desires on things that we shouldn't. And it's really a desire in our lives to find and something that will make us happy, we think. I mean, we all remember Rockefeller saying, you know, how much is enough? And he said, a little more. The desire to have in this life is an insatiable desire. Sometimes we'll put on the old television shows, and we watched one the other day, The Jeffersons. Anybody remember that? We're moving on up, says the intro song. We're moving on up. We finally have a piece of the pie. I think that describes a lot of the current challenges that we face in light of what Dr. Godfrey's been talking about in his reflections on the end of Christendom, that really in this life there are the haves and the have-nots, and that's defined by material gain in this life, isn't it? That's how we look at life. That's how we think about life. That really life, there are the haves and the have-nots, and it all has to do with money and gain. There's a reason James says in the Christian ethic in sanctification, don't give the best seats to the rich. Give them to the poor. We live in a time, however, where we believe that those distinctions should not exist. To have everybody absolutely equal with a piece of the pie is how people want to live in this day. And that's what drives people. That's what motivates people. But it's not the way the Bible presents life or Christianity or how we are to live as those who are followers of Jesus. Think of Hannah's prayer for a minute. There's a little more. You realize that sometimes they say, well, why don't you do topical preaching? Tonight's really a topical sermon. Catechism preaching is the Reformed way of topical preaching. So if anyone says we don't do that, that's what we're doing tonight. Think of Hannah's prayer. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread. But those who were hungry have ceased to hunger. The barren has borne seven, but she who has many children is forlorn. The Lord kills and brings to life. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and exalts. He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor. It's really a remarkable passage, assigning to the Lord the sole prerogative for positions and status and wealth and gain. People wouldn't like that today because it says somebody is above them who's distributing as he will. And however he distributes, if he gives more to somebody, it doesn't make them better than anyone else. They have responsibilities, just like the poor have responsibilities. Think of Ecclesiastes 5. Everyone also to whom God has given wealth and possessions and power to enjoy them and to accept his lot and rejoice in his toil, this is a gift of God. That's a remarkable verse. Wealth and property and gain in this life belongs to who? The Lord. Belongs to him. And he has a right to distribute it as he sees fit. It's free to understand that, as the scriptures say. It's freeing to understand life this way. I think this sets us free in so many ways, to look at life this way, to understand life this way, that God distributes wealth, that God has determined what he's going to give you in this life and to increase. That belongs to him, and that we don't have to live for that. It's his to give to us. And that we can be satisfied in whatever way he's provided for us. I've met a poor man who had nothing in life and who was totally fulfilled as a couple because they had happiness in the Lord. But the point is this is freeing to look at life this way. This is how the scriptures want the believers to understand life and to think about life. Governments are not really in charge of this. That's another important statement. Governments are not ultimately in charge of this. Sure, they care, they can give and help the poor and help the needy, but they're not in charge of really, think about this, what people have in this life. God is. It's the way the scriptures look at it. And he may use governments in certain ways and these sort of things, but everything today is so out of whack, if you will. There are responsibilities, I want to say, with having, and there are responsibilities, what we would think, with not having. But when we don't understand this, life just seems to become, and I think that's what it's become in the times in which we live, life just becomes getting a piece of the pie. Life just becomes fulfilling the American dream. And that is what is behind, I think, the breaking often of the eighth commandment. This is really what we say the American dream is all about. Finally making it, finally arriving, finally getting to a point where I don't have to worry. Who said you don't have to pray to the Lord and trust him for your provisions? He taught you in the Lord's Prayer every single day to say, Lord, would you provide my daily bread? The absence of that prayer often reflects in our lives that we're not so dependent on him because we have so much. This is what we're considering tonight in light of the eighth commandment, that really it's much more damaging than we realize in society and sad when it comes to, as we look at the Ten Commandments, this is the commandment that gets the last treatment. Yet its damage is really incalculable in a society and in the world and in life. You realize how much this commandment is broken? What I do in my spare time is read the annual retail theft survey reports. Did you know that? It's really interesting to look at these, actually. Every year they do an annual retail theft survey report. The 33rd came out, and listen to this. 22 large retail companies with 18,594 stores and over $500 billion in retail sales in 2020. This is 2020's. Apprehension. Participants apprehended 184,621 shoplifters and dishonest employees in 2020. That's just what they apprehended. It's just what they caught. Recovery dollars? Participants recovered over $81 million from apprehended shoplifters and dishonest employees in 2020. 158 shoplifters were apprehended. 49 million recovered from the shoplifters. The survey just goes on and on. Dishonest employees, 26. The participants were 26,000. And notice the dollars recovered from dishonest employee apprehensions totaled over 32 million. The average dishonest employee case value in 2020 was $1,219. I think you get the point. We're now living in a time where this is just everywhere. People just take whatever they want, and it's a huge problem in our country. It's not just a problem so much for the poor, it's an acceptable sin also for the rich. How so? Well, I was thinking of some of the scripture passages that talk about this. And one of the great problems in Israel was greed. And this is something that's mentioned in the catechism that's so important. Listen to Isaiah 5. Woe to those who join house to house, who add field to field, until there's no more room, and you are made to dwell alone in the midst of the land. The Lord of hosts has sworn in my hearing, saying, surely many houses shall be desolate, large and beautiful houses without inhabitant. For 10 acres of a vineyard shall yield but one bath, and a homer of seed shall yield but an ephah. In other words, who do you think holds the economies of this world in his hand? And when the rich are squelching out the poor and taking and buying house and house and house and doing all this, do you think it's going to go well in a society? The Lord will enter into judgment with the elders and princes of his people. It is you who've devoured the vineyard. The spoil of the poor is in your houses. What do you mean by crushing my people and grinding the face of the poor? Declares the Lord God of hosts. The Lord said, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with outstretched necks, glancing wantonly with their eyes, mincing along as they go, tingling with their feet. Therefore the Lord will strike with a scab the heads of the daughters of Zion. The Lord will lay bare their secret parts. In that day the Lord will take away, listen to this, the finery of the anklets, the headbands, the crescents, the pendants, the bracelets, the scarves, the headdresses, the armlets, the sashes, the perfume boxes, the amulets, the signet rings and nose rings, the festal robes, the mantles, the cloaks, the handbags, the mirrors, the linen garments, the turbans and the veils. Instead of perfume, there will be rottenness. Instead of a belt, a rope. Instead of a well-set hair, baldness. Instead of a rich robe, a skirt of sackcloth, and branding instead of beauty. I think it's fair to say that throughout history, one of the great judgments of the Lord for theft and greed was that he took away all the excess of a society. Notice how that's happening right now? You can't even buy good clothes. It's just a really weird time. Behold, Ezekiel, I will strike at the dishonest gain, destroying lives of those to get dishonest gain. And I say all that tonight and rehearse that to say I think that's what's behind often theft. Theft has many motivations. But it's a desire to have in this present. It's a desire to hold on to the present. And Jesus was constantly going after this. Jesus was talking a lot about this when he said that of the man who thought to himself, I will build bigger barns to store up more goods, and he was a fool because this night, his life would be required of it. And then what about all his stuff? Remember the story of Achan? Maybe, boys and girls, you remember the story? The children of Israel committed trespass against the accursed things, for Achan, the son of Carmi of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed things. So the anger of the Lord burned against Israel. He had stolen something. And what had he stolen? Well, when they asked Achan about it, Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I've sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I've done. When I saw the spoils of a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them first, and then I took them. And they are hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent with the silver under it. And interesting, when you steal, you don't even get to enjoy it. You got to hide it. He saw the Babylonian garment. He lusted after it. And then Achan set his heart on it. And then Achan took it. And the reason that was so wrong in Israel, now listen, this is such an important point, I think, for the eighth commandment. The reason that was so wrong is because God was giving them everything. And the imagery of stealing, and that what was in his heart was stealing, was a way of holding on to Babylon. It was a way of holding on to this world. John Owen said, "The lust of the eyes enters the soul, forcing the imagination to portray its intentions." John speaks of this as the lust of the eyes because it constantly represents these images to the mind and to the soul, just as our natural eyes present images for outward objects to the brain. The actual sight of the eyes often occasions these imaginations. Achan declared how sin had prevailed over him. First he saw the gold and the Babylonian garments. Then he coveted them. Seeing them, he imagined their value to him. And then he fixed them in his desiring heart. The enticement of sin is heightened when the imagination dominates over the mind. It implants vain thoughts within the mind. You see, it's setting your heart on something that the Lord has not given you, and then taking. And I think that moves us to hear what actual theft is when we look at it in our lives. You see the motivations of it, but it's living for gain in this life, isn't it? It's living for gain, dishonest gain. And there's a lot of scripture that talks about how much the Lord hates this. That's why the Bible says, not money is the root of all evil. It's the love of money, isn't it? It's that desire that arises to want to have more than what he has assigned to you in life. And that's what drives theft. And it may not be actually taking the object, but you'll see how powerful the 10th commandment is with coveting. What is stealing? Well, Heidelberg outlines it very well, doesn't it? Stealing, God not only forbids outright theft and robbery, but also such wicked schemes and devices, such as false weights and measures. Somebody comes to you and it's weighed wrong. We just purchased with somebody else a steer for meat. And I have no idea when I paid the money for that if that was put on the scale properly. You've got to have some measure of trust in a society for it to work, right? How easy it would have been for the one selling the steer. It's only 200 pounds more. See, this is what he's talking about here. Counterfeit money. I doubt any of you have counterfeiting systems in your home. Usury? The old Puritans wrote about usury everywhere. It's amazing how much usury was written on in the Reformed tradition. Lending money at an unreasonably high rate of interest. Sad, isn't it? We must not defraud our neighbor in any way, whether by force or by show of right. In addition, notice the heart of this. God forbids, really what's behind all this, all greed and all abuse and squandering of his good gifts. I think that's why Paul says in the new life, right up front in Ephesians 4:28, that this would become a big focal point. Let the thief no longer steal.
This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Just enough time to leave you with our contact information. We'd love to hear from you. It's always a delight knowing you're being blessed by this radio program. Reach out to us at our website, agradio.org. Questions@agradio.org. If you wish to email us any questions you might have or praise reports, comments about the program. Or give us a call, 888-504-8805. By the way, when you visit our website, agradio.org, tons of resource material for you to tap into, as well as links to our other platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Again, all at agradio.org. And that phone number, once again, is 888-504-8805. Looking to write to us? If you're old school, the address for your envelope is Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. Hey, thanks for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.
Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.